Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
When we walked in the building this morning, there was probably one of these laid on the chair near you. And maybe you thought someone was saving a spot for a friend. No, these are actually for you this morning. So if you put it on your chair or scooted it down, I want to ask you to grab one of these real quick. As one of the videos told you about this week, we've committed to dub this a week of prayer. We're going to be focusing on prayer the next 7 days. We're going to be concluding our week of prayer next Sunday night with a night of worship. But every day this week, we're going to be meeting here at the church at 6 a.m., are 7 p.m. The first 15 minutes of both those meetings at 6 and at 7 will be organized. We'll be praying over these different things. And you can see that every day has a theme. There'll be someone to lead you through the first 15 minutes of that. And then the rest of that hour, you can just come and go, spend as much time as you want, just pray on your own. But we're going to be praying every day this week, 6 a.m., 7 p.m. Come make the one that fits in your schedule. And I want to ask you, we're praying this week, and actually this year, we're going to leave these prayer banners on the wall that has these seven things on it, because these are sort of our prayer emphasis as a church for the year. But we're going to do that this week. And this morning, we're talking about day number one, a great awakening. And I'm going to preach for that in just a moment. At the end of this service, we're going to do something. It's kind of different. If you're new to our church, this will be a little bit different. We're going to spend a little bit of extended time, maybe 10 or 15 minutes, where we just do nothing but pray as a church. We're going to be praying through these. And so when I get done the message today, don't feel the need to rush out. Don't think something's wrong if I get done extra early today. It's on purpose, or it's going to try to be on purpose, so we can spend some time corporately praying together this morning. Our theme for the week is pursuing the best year possible, or pursuing the best life possible. Let me take a survey. How many of you made a New Year's resolution or a New Year just statement that this year I want to do something better? Lift your hand real quick. All right. So not very many of you. Have you given up hope? I hope not. You know, sometimes we make those, and here's what I've discovered. No one woke up this past Wednesday morning and thought, you know what, I hope 2020 is the worst year possible. Right? No one got up and thought, boy, I hope this year I am broker than I've ever been. Or I hope my kids act up worse than they ever have. I hope their grades go down. I hope my family has more issues than ever before. No, we always want our lives to get better. We always want to pursue the best life possible. And so we're going to be praying through that the next month, preaching through that the next few weeks. And I want to ask you just to make your attendance here the next few days a priority in seeking the Lord's best for your life, because Jesus said that he came in John chapter 10 that we could have not just life, but abundant life. In other words, Jesus said the best life possible is lived through him. Now, I'm not sure this is sort of a baited question, but have you ever thought about why do you follow Jesus? Do you follow Jesus because you grew up in church? Do you follow Jesus because one day you realized that you were a sinner in need of a Savior? Do you follow Jesus because at one point in your life you had an addiction that nothing else could free you from, and Christ set you free from that? Was there some moment in your life where you were just enamored with life and nothing seemed to work, and you came to Christ and all of a sudden he gave you liberty and joy and salvation and freedom and all those things? Probably so. I mean, that's what got me started. But beyond that point, the shining reason why I choose Jesus every day is because I'm convinced that living for Jesus is the best way to live this life. It's the best way. There's joy. There's fulfillment. There's peace. There's happiness. There's camaraderie. There's promises. There's fulfillment in my heart that I've only discovered as I chose to follow Jesus. It really is kind of a get to follow Jesus more than I have to follow Jesus. It's the best way to live life. I'm not missing anything by following Jesus. And so pursuing the best life possible starts with following him, not one time, but every day of our life. And so these seven things we're going to be praying about today and this week and over this month preaching about, these are seven steps, you could say, seven steps to open the door, to begin a life that really takes life by the horns, if you will. It really follows the Lord into the best life possible. And to get us started on how do I embrace the best life possible, it starts this morning by embracing a spiritual awakening. I'll ask you to watch this video real quick. Are there any snooze button addicts in the room this morning? Yeah. I hate the snooze button. I think there's two different kinds of people in the room today. There's those that hit their snooze button, those that don't. And I'm guessing you're married to one of the other ones. Right? I'm not trying to sell my wife out. I might need you to buy my lunch today, but I'm going to tell you, I am married to a habitual snooze button hitter. The scripture this morning says, awake, tell your neighbor, awake. Awake, you who sleep, and arise from the dead so that Christ can give you light. I want to tell you this morning, Christ is wanting to give you light. He is wanting to illuminate your steps. He's wanting to illuminate your life. He's wanting to give you the best life possible. But we have to do something. We have to awaken to it. This morning, we need a spiritual awakening. I want to say that again. We need a spiritual awakening. This preacher needs a spiritual awakening. Our church needs a spiritual awakening. Our community and our country, our world needs a spiritual awakening this morning. And we spend way too much of our time hitting the snooze button to what God really wants to do in our life. And so this morning, I want to talk about how can we embrace a spiritual awakening. If you got your Bibles, we're going to be looking at the book of Habakkuk this morning. And it's found in chapter 3. And I think it's on like page 760 in my Bible. That didn't help you at all, but it's just towards the back of the New Testament. And Habakkuk, however you want to say his name, y'all can thumb wrestle about it after service. Here's what he said in chapter 3, verse number 1 says, this prayer was sung that by the prophet Habakkuk. I'm going to say it differently every time I say it just to keep you on your toes. I've heard all about you, Lord, and I'm filled with awe by your amazing works. Listen to his prayer. In our time of deep need, help us again. And sometimes that's all I have time to pray. So, Lord, help me again. As you did in years gone by, and in anger, remember your mercy. Father, we pray this morning again as a body of believers, and we just confess that we need a spiritual awakening. We need to see you. Lord, I pray this morning that you'll help the Word of God speak to us. I pray you'll anoint me by my own ability to speak the words of God alone. Anoint our ears, our hearts, and our minds to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to do today. And we just pray in the words of your prophet this morning, Lord, do it again. Lord, we've heard what you've done before. We just pray, do it again. Do it in our lives personally this morning. Bring to us an awakening to what you want to do. And I'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I tell you a few steps that I think the Word of God teaches us about how to receive a spiritual awakening, I want to kind of give you a little bit of context of why this prayer is being prayed in the first time, and see if maybe you can recognize where we're coming from. Habakkuk, he prayed this prayer because he's living in a world, living in a nation. If you got your notes, you can start following along with me. He's living in a so-called godly nation. He's living in the nation of Judah, and yet the people of Judah aren't really following God. They're not really doing what they know to do. They're not really following the Word of God. They're not really doing the things that would sort of mark them as the people of God. They've laid aside God's Word and God's command, and they're doing their own thing, and they were embracing sin. And Habakkuk is praying. He says, Lord, don't you see what people are doing? Don't you see? Don't you care what the Lord? And he begins to bring attention to God, to the world, how the world's changed and how they've changed to the worse and not to the better. And I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like Habakkuk this morning. I live in a nation that's known to be a Christian nation, but yet I don't see Christian values and morals being embraced like they once did. And he says, Lord, we're in deep need. I'm not trying to get petty this morning, but I just remember when I was like 6 or 7 years old, Mom would say things like this to me. She said, Greg, be home by dark. And me and my friends would disappear into the neighborhood, into the woods around our neighborhood. And we would be gone for hours and without a worry. I don't have a six-year-old, but if I did, I wouldn't even send him to the gas station by himself. It's a different world we live in. And the world was changing, and Habakkuk realized that, and he begins to pray. He says, Lord, we need your help. We need your intervention today. It bothered him so bad that the world was changing, that the morals were decaying. It changed him so bad that no one was standing up for what was right and what was godly. It bothered him so bad that he went on Facebook and he posted about it. He went on Instagram and posted pictures of things that aren't right. And he said, look at this. Isn't that what he did? No, what did he do? He prayed about it. What a thought. Did you know posting is not the same as praying? Do you know sharing on social media is not the same as standing for righteousness in real life where it counts? Habakkuk didn't settle for some kind of secondary, easy thing that didn't change anything. He did what was best. He stood before God and he said, Lord, look at what's happening. Charles Finney, one of the revivalists of years gone by, says this: when sinners are careless and stupid, and that's not being mean, anyone who's been a sinner, which is all of us, right, will let you know sin causes you to do stupid stuff, doesn't it? Yeah, it does. When sinners are careless and stupid and seeking into hell unconcerned, it's time that the church should bestir themselves. It's as much the duty of the church to awake as it is for a fireman to awaken when fire breaks out in the night in a great city. Habakkuk is saying, Lord, fire's breaking out. Lord, our nation is not honoring you. He begins to pray, but his prayer is not so holy. You ever prayed some unholy prayers before? He begins to pray like this. Go back and read chapter 1. He begins to pray like this. Lord, don't you care? Don't you see? Don't you know? Lord, why don't you do something about what's going on in my world today? He begins to doubt, I think this is one of your fill in the blanks, he begins to doubt if God is even involved at all. Have you ever prayed for God to do something and he did it slower than you asked? Then you know how Habakkuk feels. He's praying and yet it seems like nothing's changing. He's praying and it seems like God is not answering. And if you ever feel like God is not intervening the way you wish he would, then you maybe know how this guy feels. And here's the third thing is Habakkuk thought his plan was better than God's plan. Habakkuk began to pray and ask God, Lord, don't you see our need for you? And be careful because here's what happens. When you begin to pray to God for an awakening for your life or for your community or for your family, Habakkuk was, that's what he's doing. He's praying for his nation. And after he prays and says, Lord, don't you care? Don't you have a plan to change this? God spoke to him and said, I do have a plan. But the problem was Habakkuk didn't like God's plan. Did you know you're not always going to like God's plans? Let me say that again because some of you like poked up when I said that. Did you know you're not always going to like God's plans? If you think you are always going to like God's plans initially anyway, I don't think you're very good at listening to God. Because I'm going to tell you, half of God's plans for my life have always ticked me off before they made me happy. They always made me uncomfortable before they made me feel good. And Habakkuk is praying. He says, Lord, don't you care about our nation? Don't you care about our community? Don't you care about our people? And here's what the Lord says. The Lord says, I do have a plan. And here's his plan. The Lord says, I've seen Judah. And I've seen how evil they are and how they've denied me and turned away from me in every way. And so here's what I'm going to do, Habakkuk. I'm going to send a greater nation and a more evil nation into your area. And they're going to take over your nation. And they are so evil. Through their evilness, they're gonna finally see how their evil has brought destruction when a greater nation comes in and possesses them, and they begin to rule. And they're not going to rule in a great way. They're going to rule in an evil way. God tells Habakkuk, I'm going to use a nation who's even more evil than you to bring out and bring about in the people's minds their need for me. And Habakkuk says in chapter 2, I don't like that plan. That's basically what he says. Lord, I don't like that plan. There's got to be another way. It's kind of like in some of your thing, well, Pastor, you know, we're New Testament believers. The Lord would never let, you know, bad things happen to us to teach a lesson. Didn't Jesus teach a lesson about a young man who told his father, Lord, give me what's mine right now and let me go out and do my own thing? And did his life get worse or better? It got worse, right? He lost everything. He ended up spending his life slopping pigs, which was like the most worst thing that could happen to a Jewish person. And it was in the middle of that mess that he came, the Bible still uses this phrase, he came to his senses and thought, man, I would be better off as a slave in my father's house than to live like this. You know the rest of the story. He went back and his father didn't make him a slave. He made him a son. And he had a life that was just more than he ever deserved. But to get into that place, he had to go through something. And God tells Habakkuk, here's, I'm gonna send redemption. I'm going to send the message. I do have a plan to bring an awakening. But Habakkuk, when he heard it, he wished he wouldn't have heard it. Yet through frustration, through not disbelief, but just through a hard time imagining God's plan. In the midst of his godless culture, Habakkuk still seeks an awakening. Matter of fact, the name Habakkuk means to embrace. That's why the title of this message this morning is to embrace a spiritual awakening, despite what it cost. Despite how comfortable it might make him feel, despite how the world around him was, Habakkuk chose to embrace a spiritual awakening from God. And this morning, we must decide this morning. Listen, I know this isn't Tootsie Rolls and candy canes this morning, but we as a church have got to decide that whatever it costs, we will embrace a move of God today. Amen? We must embrace a move of God today. Let me say it another time. We must embrace a move of God today. There's no other substitute for it. We need a spiritual awakening. If not for ourselves, for our kids. If not for ourselves, for our community. They need to see a clear picture of the power of God. And they need to see it in us this morning. So we're praying as a church, God, give us a spiritual awakening today. Habakkuk's name meant to embrace. And he was willing to embrace whatever God had, no matter the cost. So how can you and I embrace a spiritual awakening this morning? I'm going to give you a few ways. Number one, we will embrace a spiritual awakening only when it is the priority. you got a pen and piece of paper out, if you're taking notes this morning, I want to ask you to take your pen. See that letter A in front of the word priority? Mark it out. To receive a spiritual awakening, it must not be a priority. It must be the priority. Right? And a lot of us have a lot of priorities. I'm going to spend less this year. I'm going to jog every morning. I'm going to not eat so many donuts. I've already blown that one. But we got all these priorities. But an awakening must not be a priority. It must be the priority. Habakkuk said in chapter 3, he said, Lord, I've heard your speech. And listen, some of you thought I was off my rocker when I said that the plan of God doesn't always make you happy. Listen to what he said. I heard your speech, and I was afraid. But then listen to this. But Lord, revive your work, not in 20 years, not in the next generation. He said, Lord, revive your work now. Do it now. Do it in the midst of my years. Do it now in my life. No matter what it takes, bring it to me. You know, Leonard Ravenhill said this phrase. He was speaking of revival, but I believe it's the same thing. He says, as long as we're content to live without revival, we will. And I want to say this, as long as we are content to live without a fresh move of God's Spirit in your life, you will. You will. So will I. That's why the scripture says, awake, O sleeper. He says, awake, so the light of Christ, the newness of God can shine upon you, can awaken you today. Habakkuk said, Lord, revive me today. Don't wait 50 years. Don't wait 100 years. Don't wait for another generation. He says, do it in the midst of my years. Do it now in my life. Seeking an awakening wasn't on his priority list. It was his priority. That's why Matthew says to seek first the kingdom of God. It doesn't say to make the kingdom of God, the things of God, one of your priorities. It says to make it the first thing. Matter of fact, we're gonna discover this series the next few years, the next few weeks, that the place that God always wants in our life is first. You're never gonna read a scripture where God says, I want to be number two. He always wants to be first. And part of embracing a spiritual awakening is to say, Lord, you're going to be first in my life. Psalm chapter 63 says, you're God, you're my God, and earnestly I seek you. Here's the second thing. Not only must a spiritual awakening be priority, we must come to the point where we understand it will cost us. Habakkuk said, Lord, I've heard your speech, and I was afraid. It didn't make him happy. It didn't make him want to jump over a chair. It didn't make him want to do exciting things. He said, Lord, I heard your plan and it scared me. But he said, Lord, revive your work anyway. Despite what it cost me, bring awakening anyway. You know, I've heard parents that have lost children. Parents that have a child that isn't serving God, but they want them to serve God. I've heard parents pray this prayer. Maybe you have to. Lord, whatever it takes, bring them to know you. That's a scary prayer, isn't it? It never really moved me until I had my own kids. And, you know, if I could keep my kid from stumping her toe, I would. So to pray, Lord, whatever it takes, get a hold of my kid's attention. That prayer means something. That's basically what Habakkuk is praying. He says, Lord, I know it's going to bring discomfort. I know that, and for Habakkuk, this is not just like a little discomfort. God's talking about bringing in a whole nation to overthrow their government. This is like social ramifications, economic changes. Everything about his life could be uprooted and disturbed and put out of whack. But Habakkuk says, Lord, bring it, do it anyway. No matter what it costs, Lord, bring your spirit to my life again. Pastor, you're going to be an extreme. That's sort of what an awakening does. It causes you to desire that more than anything. Here's the deal. Our willingness to sacrifice for a personal awakening sets the stage for what God is going to do. If we're to see it happen, we must be willing to do it no matter the cost. You know, there's a phrase called growing pains. You ever heard of growing pains? Maybe you remember the TV show from the 80s, Growing Pains. It's actually, it used to be a medical thing. It's not anymore, but used to, here's the definition. Originally it was pains a child may experience when going through a growth spurt. But today, it says the term is frequently used to describe the struggles found in transitioning, any transition. And how many would say you've experienced some growing pains in your life? Like, when you went from having, you know, from being single to married. Don't raise your hand, you know. But that's different, right? To go from living by yourself to now you're living with two people. How about when you go from having no kids to one kids? A little bit of growing pains, right? Somebody's got to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and change the diaper. And then what about when you go from one kid to two kids? Growing pains. How about from two kids to three kids? I don't know. But I just know that in almost every transition, there's pains. And every parent in the room, let me take a survey. I hope this doesn't backfire. But how many parents in the room would say before you had your kid, you knew that having a kid would bring at least a little bit of change to your life? A little bit of discomfort. You knew it was okay. So you weren't completely surprised? And yet you chose to have kids anyway? What's up with that? Why would you willingly do something that was going to bring some discomfort? Some of you are like, I don't know, Pastor. I don't know why I did it. I'll tell you why you did it. You did it because you were convinced that the joy that child would bring would be greater and longer lasting than the momentary pain you would have to go through. How will we experience a spiritual awakening when we understand that any cost it may have, any pain it may bring, any inconvenience we may have, it's got to be replaced by a joy and an experience that will outlast anything it will cost us? That's why the Apostle Paul says, those things I used to count valuable, I now them to be considered like dung, worth nothing compared to the surpassing greatness of the living God that we serve. He had had an awakening in his life. His values had changed. And by the way, an awakening will cause your values to change. Top to bottom. Your time values, your money values, your political values. Having an awakening will change everything. I think there might be one person in the audience not ticked off at me today. And I don't want you to leave this place happy. What if we spent as much energy in praying for a spiritual awakening as we did bickering about a political transformation? Listen, 2020 is let me just tell you what the enemy is trying to do in 2020. The enemy is trying to use the 2020 election to bring so much division and divide in the people of God that we'll forget what our mission is. And I'm not sure. Is the election on my birthday this year? Someone like said, I don't know when your birthday is. I think it is. I think it's November the 8th this year. Is that right? Sometime. Here's what I know. The day after the election this fall, the greatest need of this nation is still going to be a spiritual awakening. No matter who's in the White House, no matter who the mayor is, the governor is, the greatest need. You cannot legislate righteousness to the degree where it changes the nation. We need a spiritual, listen, don't you dare, I know I'm off my notes, which means I'm probably getting in trouble, but don't you dare try to relegate to some politician the place the church ought to have in the United States of America. We are the church of Jesus Christ. Do I think you ought to vote? Absolutely. If you don't tell me. Should you pray about that and vote for the person that has the morals that you decide best align with the Word of God? Absolutely. But our hope, we sing it, our hope is nothing, is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Amen. I can't trust anything except for him. But when we begin to trust in other people and other things, what happens is like the kingdom of Judah, we begin to lull ourselves to sleep. And we need an awakening. It's got to be priority. I don't even know where I am on my notes. It's got to cost us. There you go. It's got to cost us. I'm human. When you pinch me, I scream. So I'm not like some super spiritual. I'm not more spiritual than Habakkuk. When Habakkuk said, "Lord, this is your path," he said, "I don't like it." And I'm just telling you, I don't like to feel pain either. But we got to get to the place where we want the promise more than we care about the pain. Or we want the presence of God, no matter how much discomfort we may have to embrace to get where God wants us to do this. Salvation is free, absolutely, every single day of the week. But following Jesus down the road and receiving what he has for us today, it might cost us something. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, first, what? Deny yourself. We have this strange bubble that we live in where we believe that following Jesus will never cost us anything. I'm not sure where we get it from. Not from the Bible. Sometimes following Jesus costs us. And Habakkuk realized that having a spiritual awakening may cost him something, but he said, in my words, "Lord, bring it on, because I want to see you." Third way we receive a spiritual awakening is when we realize my spiritual awakening is promised. Habakkuk was convinced that God either A, didn't know what was going on, B, God didn't care what was going on, or C, that God didn't have a plan for what was going on. And he discovered when he began to pray that God was aware and he did have a plan. And then Habakkuk had a choice. I can either get with the plan of God or I can miss out on the plan of God. His name means to embrace. He chose to embrace the word of God. You know, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said like this, "Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open." Habakkuk didn't knock on God's door and say, "Hey, Lord, we need an awakening down here." And the Lord thought, "What a great idea." No. When he knocked on God's door, what he discovered was God already had a plan. He already had a promise. He already had things in work. He was just waiting for someone to knock. He was asking for someone to speak. He was waiting for someone to say, "Lord, I want to be a part of what you're doing in the world today." Jeremiah 29 says the same thing. He says, "You'll seek me when you find me with all your heart." Amos chapter 4, or chapter 5 says, this is what the Lord says, "Seek me and you'll live." The best life possible is found in seeking him. If you'll seek him, the word says he'll find him. Your awakening is promised. My awakening is promised. It's God's good pleasure. The Bible says he loves to give generously to his children, but we've got to take the part of the process of giving to him, giving him a chance. Last night, I know y'all are more organized than we are, but last night we were, actually this has happened twice. Last week we were going through our closet, getting ready to, you know, I got some new clothes for Christmas, so I thought before I put the new clothes into the closet, I should take some old clothes out of the closet. That's a good practice, because I don't do it enough, because my closet was like busting out, and so I was taking some things out, and lo and behold, guess what I found? A Christmas present to our girls, already wrapped, that we didn't see. And so days after Christmas, we get to give our girls another Christmas present. They were excited. It was wonderful. Last night, I was cleaning out another little compartment. Guess what else I found? Three more Christmas presents. They weren't expecting. They weren't asking. I just had more for them than they imagined. Can I tell you, God has more for you than you've imagined. Amen? He does. And he hasn't forgotten where he put it. He's just waiting on you to ask. And when our first child was born, Stella was born 4 years ago, my father-in-law said, Greg, I think the Lord's going to use this baby to teach you things you never saw before. Here we go. You know, he taught me last night. He doesn't forget gifts he has for us. He's just waiting for us to ask for them. Your awakening is promised if you'll just ask. How about in 2020 we begin to be professional askers? Asking of God what he has for us. Here's point four, Megan, if you want to come. Realize your spiritual awakening, it's not just promised, but it's personal. Closing verses of Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 17. Listen to the prayer he's praying. He says, he's singing, which is pretty important to notate. He's moved from praying to singing. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there may be no herd in the stalls, yet I'll rejoice in the Lord, and I'll joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like the deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. I read that verse to you today because I don't know if you heard that, if you'll look at that in the scripture. Habakkuk kind of uses this word, a word that you and I are in love with. This word, me, multiple times. He's praying and he's rejoicing that, Lord, even if the fruit is off the vine, Lord, even if everything else is cut off, Lord, I know for me, you've got strength. For me, you've got an encounter. For me, Habakkuk is having a personal awakening in a place where it seems like nothing's changing. Now, Billy Graham made the statement. He said, I've been praying that we might have a spiritual awakening. Listen to what he said. But I think that becomes possible as individuals surrender their lives fresh and new to Christ. In other words, he was saying a spiritual awakening is personal. Say that phrase with me. It's personal. What do you mean by personal, Pastor? Here's what I mean. It means no one can bring you a spiritual awakening except you. You can live in a house with spiritual giants. But if you're going to have a spiritual awakening, it has to be your spiritual awakening. And I was telling Brother Karis right before service, I grew up with spiritual giants in my house. Both my parents loved the Lord passionately. But can I tell you, their passionate love for God just produced one thing in me. A value of religion. I had to have a personal encounter that moved my religion into relationship. Every church kid in the room, whether you're 13 or 36, no matter how greatly or how bad you've seen people in your life serve God, don't mistake their service as routine. Don't you mistake or settle for your service to the Lord to be out of religion or routine. You seek a relationship with God because he has one for you. He has a spiritual awakening for you. No one can bring a spiritual awakening to your life except you. And here's my last point. No one can keep you from a spiritual awakening except you. Habakkuk didn't let his nation keep him. He didn't let his family keep him. You can't let your pastor keep you, your church keep you, your schedule keep you, your family keep you, your responsibilities. You can't use any of that stuff as an excuse. The only thing that will keep you from an encounter with God is you. We close Habakkuk chapter 3, and it says, though there's no fruit on the vine, and though the sheep pen may be empty, In other words, though everything in my visual sight that I would call prosperity seems to be lacking, he says, Lord, I'm going to rejoice in you. Lord, I'm going to worship you. Lord, because you've given me strength. How can he say such things? When just three chapters earlier, he was saying, Lord, don't you see the plight? Something happened. He embraced the work of God. And inside his life personally, there was an awakening. See, the first thing, I know I got talking about our nation as a whole a few moments ago, but the real thing, the way that an awakening will come to our nation is when it comes to you first and me first. See, an awakening doesn't happen church by church. It happens person by person. You can't ride the coattails of awakening. If not, when the emotion flattens, so will your faith and so will your commitment to the Lord. But a real awakening, it lasts. So let's decide that in 2020, we will experience all that God has for us. Let's decide that we're going to pursue the best life possible. You don't pursue it by outward things, though many people do. You do it by pursuing the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, bow your heads this morning as we get ready to pray. I told you we're going to move into a moment of corporate prayer today. And when we do this in just a minute, there are just going to be people coming to the platform to help me pray. But your job is today is just to pray with us. Let's believe God as individuals and as families and as churches today. But before we get into that, I just want to make sure, maybe there's someone in the room today, you're not following Jesus today. The greatest spiritual awakening you need is a personal one. You know that you're not right with God. And today, for an unexplained reason you cannot describe, you just know that the Spirit of God is knocking on your door, the door of your heart, saying, hey, today's the day you need to follow me. You need to get things right with me. Maybe you've never had an interest in church or God before, or maybe you've been turned off by things that happened around God, around the church before, but today, you know, hey, today's my day for a spiritual awakening. You're not right with God today. Today's your day. Would you just lift a hand real quick and say, pray for me, Pastor. I need to make that choice today. Amen? 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 Don't settle for religion when God has a real relationship for you. Amen. Here's what we're going to do. I want to ask the entire church, would you stand with me? And if you lifted your hand this morning and said, listen, I need a personal awakening. I need an awakening to salvation this morning. I need to make Jesus Christ the leader and the Lord of my life. The whole church is going to say this prayer with me. And I've said this 100 times before. Repeating a prayer never changed anything, but saying a prayer from your heart can change everything. So if you'll say this prayer from your heart, this will be a change everything moment. So let's pray this together. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for caring for me. Thank you for living a perfect life and dying a sacrificial death and raising again on the third day so that I can have life and life abundantly. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my past. From this day forward, I'm going to follow you. Lead me today, Lord, and I'm going to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap with those who are giving their life to the Lord today. Amen.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.